Disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It is time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm loaded for bear this morning, folks. Loaded for bear this morning. I hope we get a chance to get to everything. I feel like bear eating. I was listening to something last night. This just popped into my head. Remember I told you the other day I got all these wires running in my head? I was listening to Michael Savage last night. He had on a guy that was talking about the Humane Society. And I'm all for protecting animals. I don't know how I got on this, but I'm going to share it because it's important. And he was talking about, he wrote a book, and he's the head of the Humane Society of America, North America, whatever it was. And very, you know, seemed like a very nice guy. Didn't seem like too bad of a tree hugger to me. We all want to treat animals humanely. And I was listening as he was telling stories about how we're all supposed to, as human beings, we're supposed to be gracious and care for the weak and not take advantage of them and do everything we can to minimize the pain and suffering of the animals and all that stuff. And I'm listening to it as I'm walking. I was out exercising, and I'm listening to it. And everything he was talking about, every sentence he said, he could have put an unborn baby at the end of it. And he was so blind he couldn't even see it. Talking about teach the weak amongst us and how we shouldn't take advantage of those animals because they're weaker than us and they're dependent on us. And the whole time I'm just kind of in my head screaming, oh my goodness, I ought to just record this and insert unborn baby every time he says animal, because it's the world's crazy, man. The world's crazy. Thanks for joining us, all of you down here in the morning. I appreciate you being down here. I don't know what I would do if I started to do our morning show and there wasn't anybody looking back at me. I suppose I'd keep doing it because people are at least viewing it on YouTube. I don't know what you guys think. I think these things have been remarkable in the mornings. I just, man, oh man. I hang up every day and I just go out here scratching my head and say, Lord, where did that thing come from today? Where did that come from? So again, guys, I don't take this responsibility lightly. I appreciate you coming. I'm not the grand poobah. I'm not the modern day Pope. I'm just trying to serve up the truth as I see it, and maybe together, collectively, as the scripture says, and the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom, maybe in some way we can come to the knowledge of the truth. And it's amazing how much I'm getting feedback from guys about the kingdom of God and about the bride of Christ. I'm getting all kinds of great feedback, so I know that we're really touching some places that probably have never been touched before in the lives of guys. And as I always say, if I'm wrong, please show me. Because I don't want to be a know-it-all and see, I told you so. But understand this, guys. The way you view it, the box that you're in, affects everything. You know, if I'm sitting around here, it happened. Thank you, Lord. It happened to me last night. I was in bed. I woke up in the bed, and I looked up on the wall, and there was a light on the wall. I thought, what? You know how you are sometimes. You wake up, and you don't know where you are, and you're trying to get your bearings. And there was this little light on the wall. Little light. I was like, what is that? I'm sitting up and I'm trying to figure out, what is that? What is it? And I'm thinking, oh man, somebody in my house, somebody, because remember, from the perspective that you see it, right, the box that you're in, and I'm looking and all of a sudden I realized my neighbor was leaving his house to go to work, and it reflected off of my mirror onto my wall. And so once I knew it, then I was able to say, oh, okay, and then I went back to sleep. So many of us are just stuck inside a little box, and we've always been safe in that little box. And when a new light shines in there, we don't always know how to handle it. So I hope we're shining a little bit of new light in there, that at least maybe you'll peek out behind the curtains and see if there's something out there that you never seen before. How about Target? How about Target? I don't know how many of you have followed this. Target came out. Target! They just put a target on their back. Target came out yesterday, and They now are for gender-neutral bathrooms. So my wife and I burn up the phone lines calling them, telling them we'll go to Walmart or we'll go to wherever, but we're never setting foot back in Target. But listen, I want to connect the dot for you. Please. Folks, the spiritual war in America is now almost as clear as Wizard of Oz. If you remember in that scene in Wizard of Oz when Toto goes and pulls back the curtain and Dorothy sees for the first time the man behind the curtain. And what does the man behind the curtain do? You know, he pulls the curtain again. And he keeps on running all his things. You remember that scene? And Toto pulls it back again. And then finally Dorothy sees, oh my goodness, she sees what's going on. I'm going to tell you something. The man behind the curtain is being so exposed. That curtain is being pulled back so open for us to see. But we don't want to see it. Here's what I mean. I'm not talking about the man behind the curtain being tinfoil hat or the Illuminati or the Masons or the Bilderbergers, although all that's part of it. That's not what I'm talking about. Remember this, that the scripture tells us that in 2 Thessalonians, can you go there real quick? I just think it's better if we see it. And I'm sorry I'm not there yet, but the Lord just hit me with it. And you saw that happen, didn't you? You saw the Lord hit me with that? So I want to show you something that I believe is good. And again, if we don't understand why the light's on the wall, and once we do understand it, it'll help us a little bit. A light on the wall. What's making that light on the wall? Well, I'm going to try to show you a little bit here. 2 Thessalonians. I'm just going to read real quick. I'm in 2 Thessalonians 2. Okay? Now, remember, anytime we talk about last days or end times or anything like that, this is written 2,000 years ago. They thought they were in the end times. All right? This isn't necessarily. So I'm in verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. You guys all with me there? It says this, let no man deceive you by any means. So first of all, it must be possible for us to be deceived by any means. We must be able to be deceived. Paul says, don't let any man deceive you. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. That the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Curtain being pulled back. This man who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is being revealed to us right now, folks. Remember ye not, I'm not talking about the Antichrist. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? He says, remember I've been warning you about this? Verse 6. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's 2,000 years ago. So this thing's going on right. It's going on right now. Mystery of iniquity. It's already happening. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. There's a restraining going on. Am I heading someplace? Hang on. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and they shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. There's that light on the wall again, by the way. And Lord said, what's it saying? He'll be revealed. He's being revealed. Folks, he's being revealed to us right now. Here's how I know. Stay with me. Even after him whose coming is after the workings of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. Cause and effect. Because they receive not the love of the truth, there's the cause. They received it that they not might be saved. And for this cause, verse 11, there it is, cause and effect, God shall send them strong delusion. They should believe a lie. I can keep going on. I'm trying to help you see that there's a strong delusion. And if you remember back a couple months ago, we talked about the spiritual world, the spiritual realm, and we talked about evil spirits in high places and principalities and powers. And remember all that? We talked all about that. I am convinced that right now that is being revealed to us. Can somebody tell me, anybody that's even had even a modicum, even just a 10-minute class in marketing, in trying to build a business, first thing you would have to do is recognize who your market is, right? Who you're trying to market to. So who's the target store is trying to market to? Families, I would assume. It's a department store. So they're marketing to families. And so yesterday, Target, marketing to families, does the one thing that would scare families away. And that is, say, anybody can pee in our bathrooms. You pick your bathroom, pee wherever you want to. That would be horrifying to me as a grandpa to take my 5-year-old daughter in there and let her go to the bathroom knowing some man's going to come. There would be nothing that would destroy my business, my marketing, more than that. Yet, Target thinks that's noble to do. See, that's just they're believing a lie. That's great, great deception that's going on before us right now. And we are seeing people all across America, people who you would think just have common sense, who would know better, that a man uses a man's restroom and a woman uses a woman's restroom. Guys, how can we be so confused on this? How can this not be just absolutely crystal clear? Why has this become a hot topic? And PayPal jumps behind it, and Disney jumps behind it, and Target, and everywhere you look. See, listen to me. They think they are so deceived. They think they're doing a good thing. In their mind, whatever that would be, their deluded mind, they rejected the truth, so they're receiving the strong delusion. In their mind, they are being righteous. They have changed the standard on us, see? The new standard is now tolerance and diversity and acceptance and love. That's the new standard. And so these guys sitting in these offices, these marketing departments that are making the decisions, please understand they are under a spiritual delusion. Remember we go back to, we talked about John 3, where you're born again, unless you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. Guys, listen, they can't see. There's just unbelievable blinders in front of them. 25, 50, 70 years from now, if we're still around, they are going to they're going to be writing in business journals about what a foolish decision Target made. And Target thinks it's a good decision. Target is not trying to ruin their business, they're trying to improve their business. You see, understand? They're not all just necessarily evil. There's a principality. There's a spirit in high places that's making us act like this. And you know why we see it as foolishness? Because we haven't rejected the truth. We haven't rejected the truth. So it's so plain and easy for us to see. But they can't. They can't see it. So instead of getting all frustrated and saying, oh, God, what's going on? There's a strong delusion. The strong man is being revealed to us. The curtain is being pulled back. And every time the curtain is getting pulled back, the Lord's helping us to see what's going on. He says, look at this. Look what's going on. We're deceived. We could go to the money thing. I was talking to Jared before we went on the air. The money. People can't even see it. They can't even conceive of it. They can't even see the possibility that the ATM machine would break down. Guys, come on now. They're changing the $20 bill. They're taking Andrew Jackson off of the $20 bill. Now, why are they doing that? Come on, open your eyes. Because they want you to get used to seeing new money. Come on. Why would Obama say, okay, let's put Harriet Tubman on there now? Well, there's two reasons. Number one, all the black people he could have picked wants to go back and pick somebody that dealt in racism again, slavery there, just throw that back in our face. But not only that, now we're used to a new currency. Wow, this doesn't look like the same old dollar. Okay, well, we got Harriet Tubman on now. Harriet's on the $20 bill. Well, what's happening next, see? It's a great deception. It's all just a make-believe world out there. The movie, I didn't even watch it, The Matrix, is so much more true than we even understand. So we called Target. Everybody called Target. Roger said he's going to raise some hell with Target. But again, it's not Target's fault. It's not Target's fault. And I've become convinced. Do I have to say that, Lord? Our biggest opposition to truth, the biggest opposition to truth in America is the church. Our biggest opponent, listen to me, our biggest opponent to truth in America is the church. It's the church. And we can go call our congressmen, and we can do all that kind of stuff until we get the heart of the pastors, until we get the heart of the average churchgoer. We're not going to get anywhere. I wrote a commentary today, didn't get up at News with Views. I don't know what happened. They'll probably get it up tomorrow. So why doesn't anybody care? Why doesn't anybody care? I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. You know right now, you know they're killing babies. They're killing babies. Why does anybody care? Why is it that I'm not patting myself on the back? I've been going down to that place 3 days a week for a year, and nobody comes. Nobody cares. Everybody's pro-life, but nobody cares. I'm going to show you here in a second. Our biggest opposition is the church. JR and I and a few others, Kevin, we've been in court with Vineyard Columbus, a big Vineyard church, because we went to the church, tried to hold the church accountable. Please join us, we said. Help us stop gay marriage. This is all this 2 years ago. Help us try to stop it. Big signs out in front of the church. And what was the church's response? Well, one of the most unbiblical things you could ever do. They took us to court. What's the Bible say about one brother taking another brother to court? So why would you ever do that? So they ignore that, and they take us to court, get a restraining order. Because why? We're trying to bring the truth to them. And I've now come to understand more than ever, JR, they are the enemy. Boy, that's going to make me a lot of friends, isn't it? Here's what I know. Here's why I'm so free to say what I say. I don't trust on any church for any money to help fund what we do. I don't trust one. I don't get into any churches to speak. And so you know what I have? Brother, I got liberty. I got great liberty. And I see everywhere that I go, the gatekeepers. Everywhere you look, there are gatekeepers. There's gatekeepers in the church. There's gatekeepers in the schools. There's gatekeepers on Christian radio. There's gatekeepers on the internet. You always have to go through somebody to be able to get the truth out. Luckily, we have the internet. We can talk to ourselves. Do you have any idea? I don't know what you think, but a guy like me with the perspective I bring, that'd be some pretty good radio on. That would deserve 5 minutes on Hannity some night, wouldn't it, to talk about what's going on? But no, they're not going to have me, because it's all part of that big deception. That if we help people get knocked out of that little box that they're in, then things change a little bit. I got somewhere I want to go, but I'm going to give everybody a chance to vent there a second if you want to. Anybody? Larry?
Yeah, I don't think the church is the biggest opponent to truth. They're the most effective opponent to truth, because they claim to have truth.
Very good, Larry. Very good. That's right. They do. See, the scripture says, if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Meaning, if you think you have the truth and you don't, you're not even looking for it. And they're not even looking for it. They're not looking for that little thing that appeared on my wall last night. See, they think they are the spotlight. And so they're not looking for it. Sitting in the light, blinded, sitting in the light, so they think. I'm going to talk about some of that here today. But we have to figure out somehow to awaken those who are awake, or to organize those who are awake to get some type of push. That's the way I say it, pushback. It's one of the things I wrote about today. Anybody else? Yeah, Larry, go ahead.
Yeah, just, you know, you, in the scripture that you read, you mentioned that part about the falling away first comes, unless the falling away comes first.
Right.
You know, that's in my spirit. Every time I've read that here in 2 Thessalonians, it's poured into my spirit that, you know, there's a coming out that's going to happen. And it's not the church coming out of the world. It's the true church coming out of the false church.
That's that remnant, huh? That real remnant.
Their stomachs are not going to allow them to sit there and listen to lie after lie after lie after lie anymore.
Larry, I'm trying to show you my goosebumps, because when you said that, goosebumps went up and down my back, because that's where I want us to turn to today, exactly what you're talking about. Before I do that, as you guys get ready to turn to Matthew 25, you can go ahead and turn there if you want to, while we play a two-minute video here. Okay, Jared, let's play the one of Andy Stanley. I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. Here is what we're fighting against. Andy Stanley, everybody wants to be like Andy Stanley, not me. I don't want to go anywhere near the guy.
I want to say something to a couple groups, all right? First, I want to say something to all of you who are 45 years old and older. You don't have to
raise. That's us.
45 and older. Look up here. Many of you have grown weary and you've lost heart.
I haven't.
The reason is because you have fixed your eyes on a political system. You have fixed your eyes on a political leader.
You haven't.
Fixed your eyes on the good old days. You fixed your eyes on the economy, and you are growing weary, and you need to knock it off. And I'll tell you why. Because you are scaring the children. You are. Now look, the generation that's coming along behind us are going to take their cue from us. And here's the cue we're giving them. Oh my goodness, if we don't get the right person elected in office, it's the end of the world. If we don't fix the economy, it's the end of the world. If we don't have religious freedom like my mama and my grandmama had religious freedom, it's the end of the world. Oh my goodness, if we don't get the right laws passed, if we don't have the right policies, it's all coming unraveled. Nothing could be further from the truth. Look up here. Government and government matters, policies matter, but neither of those matter as much as men and women who understand this word, faith. Confidence that God keeps his promises and that nothing can thwart the plans of God. We know this from the Old Testament. We know this from the New Testament. We know this because the most powerful person in Judea, Pilate, looked at Jesus and said, "What is truth? Crucify him. Game over. It's done. Let's move on." And the only reason you know who Pilate is, the only reason you know who Pilate is because you know the story of Jesus. Pilate, the governor, becomes a footnote in the story of Jesus. In fact, most of the first century people you know about because they're part of the story of Jesus. We have nothing to fear. So all of you people over 45, knock it off. You need to model for the next generation that God is in control. God can be trusted. Get involved in the political system. Get involved in culture. Get involved in your society. But you never fix your eyes there. You fix your eyes on Jesus.
Well, would you guys like to react before I do?
Hey, Larry, there's your poster boy.
Right? The Lord's in control, right? And faith. We read faith yesterday, didn't we? Didn't we read the Faith Hall of Fame yesterday in Hebrews about all those who lost their heads and got cut in half and they're torn asunder? We read that yesterday, didn't we? Now, our good friend Andy Stanley says those of us who are trying, that Roger Weaver trying to warn Dylan or educate Dylan about what's coming, Roger Weaver is scaring poor little Dylan. Am I scaring you, Jared? Am I scaring you today, Dylan? Am I scaring Steve, who's not with us? That's the stuff that we're getting from our pulpits, see? Jesus is in control. It's all going to work out in the end. Well, you better read what the end might look like. Yes, we can trust Jesus. Yes, we're men of faith. And yes, because I'm a man of faith, I read this and I see the consequences of not obeying his word. Am I sick?
Am I open?
Yeah.
Okay. This just flashed. I mean, I saw it as clear as a bell. You know, I don't think any of the prophets, the men that God sent to speak to his people, I don't think any of them were afraid of scaring the people they were talking to.
They were trying to scare them.
Message was, you people wake up or some deep doo-doo is coming to your way.
Amen. Roger.
Dave, quickly.
By the way, he reminded me of your pastor, Roger.
Hey, real quick, there's a part I would agree with him. If all we do is feed our culture to us day in, day out, it can be pretty depressing. And we can be depressing to others at times.
Amen.
The key I believe is we must be in Scripture and share all of Scripture. It is Scripture that allows us to face what's happening
yes.
with stability. So I understand that Roger Weaver, I can kind of be a bummer at times. I can be a little bit negative. I sometimes think, and I might be. However, when I balance my faith, when I read Scripture, I come out of that situation understanding my firmness. I believe that God's in control. Yes, we win in the end, but all hell's going to break loose till the end is here. And we need to prepare and warn people. And if we do not, many are going to hell.
So God is in ultimate control. Nobody would disagree with that. Nobody would disagree
with
that.
Don't disagree.
But he gave us free will. Somebody once told me, God is in control of everything, but he doesn't control everything. There's a difference in those two things. He's in ultimate control. But the daily things that go on, I believe that we have the opportunity to intervene and do something about. Are you in Matthew? Because I got something I want to show you here. Here's our problem. Matthew 25, 32. Kevin, you got a Bible today? You want to read? I have a tendency to interrupt. Start reading there on 32. Start at 31, Kevin. 31.
Okay. I have a bit of an eye problem, so if I struggle, stick with me. 31. When the Son of Man shall come into his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory.
Time out a minute. That's going to happen, boys. That's going to happen. He's coming back in glory. We act like he isn't, but he is. Go ahead.
32. And before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. 33. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and put the goats on the left. Mm. Interesting about the left.
It's also, he's judging too, isn't he? He's discriminating here a little bit. He's bigoted, this guy. Go ahead.
34. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me drink, and I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me, and I was sick, and you visited me, and I was in prison, and you came unto me. 37. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw ye thee in the hungered, and fed thee, thirsty, and gave thee drink?
When we do this, Lord, these are the righteous. See, they're doing the work of God and don't even realize they're doing it. See, these are the righteous that are doing this. Go ahead.
They weren't working in any programs, huh?
No.
38. When we saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee, or when saw we thee sick and in prison, and came unto thee. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me.
Keep going.
Then they shall say unto them in the left hand.
By the way, they were all in the same building, right? They were all in the same sheep. They were all in the same sheepfold. All the nations, he's brought all these Christians together, all these people before him. Go ahead.
41, then he said unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, and go into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, and in prison, and visited me not. Then shall they also answer, saying, Lord, when saw we that ye were hungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? And he shall answer, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And ye shall go away into the everlasting punishment, but the righteous shall come into eternal life.
Good job, Kevin. Listen, guys, I want you to understand this. Every one of them standing before him expected a reward. In fact, the ones on the left, they said they were just as ignorant about everything as the guys on the right. The guys on the right, they were just living out their faith. They were just doing what they thought was normal. The guys on the left who are going to church every day and aren't living out the gospel, they think they deserve just the same thing as everybody else did. In other words, living out the gospel should be a natural, everyday part of life. It's not something you do. And me, because of my mindset, I always focus in on in prison. Now, listen, yes, he's talking about literal prison. But how many people are in prison to drug addiction, to sexual sin, in prison to pornography, in prison to a lot of different things, and we don't go to them. It's not a literal prison, although it could be. By the way, when I got arrested for taking water to Terry Schiavo, that was a scripture I quoted. I said, she's all of that. Terry Schiavo is all of that. And my faith compels me to take water to her. Two things I want you to see. Not everybody's getting in. Not everybody's getting in. Larry, you want to say something, Larry?
Yeah. I just want to read one of those verses again that Kevin read. And I want to read it two times. And, you know, it's like the word blessed. It's spelled exactly the same way as the word blessed. Now, when you read the Psalms, you always say blessed, blessed, blessed. Other places, you'll say blessed. It's blessed, by golly, it's blessed. You know, we've got to let the way we hear and see things and read things enter into the meaning of things. Verse 40, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, the least of these, my brethren.
Brothers.
Yeah, my brothers. I'm saying to you, my brothers, the way you did it to the least of these, he's saying it when you did it to the least of these, my brothers. When you did it to my brothers, you did it to me. That brothers is an important part of that verse. And then the other group thought that they'd been doing it. But they'd been doing it according to the program. They'd been doing it according to the Baptist Coalition missionary.
That's right, brother. Going on mission.
They hadn't been doing it, seeking out who was the brother of Christ that needed it.
Amen. Amen. Larry, you always bring a great perspective. Anybody else there? I'm going to flip you to another scripture. I want you to see two things. Very clearly to me. Some are getting in and some ain't. And the ones that ain't getting in are surprised. Right? Would you all agree with that? They're shocked. They can't believe they're not getting in. They can't believe it. And he's very clearly separates them. I'm talking about false conversions today, guys. False conversions. That's the problem we're dealing with. What we see is the church isn't the church. Flip over real quickly. Turn left and go to Matthew 7. If you remember when we were talking about the political...
Yep. See what I just wrote down before you said it?
Isn't that something, brother? Remember we talked about last couple weeks ago, Matthew 7, we were talking about an evil tree not giving good fruit, and I was making the comparison about the Republican Party. So it's this follows right on after that, okay? In fact, I'm trying to... Dylan, you got a Bible today?
I can get it up here on the computer, yeah. Give me just one second.
Okay. Dylan, get to Matthew 7:21. Hey, Dylan, we scaring you?
No, I love it, Coach.
Okay, good, good. You didn't look too scared. It's like Ted Cruz said Donald Trump was terrified. Ted Cruz says Donald Trump's terrified of him. Terrified to debate him. I'm telling you, you look at Trump, you see terror. I mean, come on, man. Come on. Go ahead, Dylan. 7:21. Guys, this is false conversions. This is critical. This is why we're in the mess we're in. Andy Stanley is speaking to a lot of lefty goats. A lot of lefty goats. That's who Andy Stanley's speaking to, convincing those lefty goats that they're okay. And they're not okay. Go ahead, Dylan. 7:21. Matthew 7:21. By the way, I love Matthew 7. If you want to just get blessed, just sit down and chew on Matthew 7. There's so much truth in that. Go ahead, bud.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those...
Hang on. What's that again?
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter...
Not everyone who goes to church. Not everyone who's a Baptist. Not everyone who's been baptized. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord. Go ahead, Dylan.
But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven.
Boy, we better find out what the will of his Father is. That'd be a good place to start, wouldn't it?
Many will say to me on that day, Lord.
How many will? Dylan, how many will?
Many.
How many?
Many.
That's like a whole bunch, isn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't say few. In fact, the word says, wide is the gate and narrow is the way. Broad, right? Broad and narrow. Many come. Few find it. Broad. This idea that everybody, Jesus loves everybody. I'm bringing you right back to that same thing. Hey, Dylan, I'll quit interrupting. It's very rude. Go ahead. Start it all over again and I'll shut up. Start at 21 again and I'll shut up.
All right. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.
Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Now see, here's one of the issues. There's a lot of more good stuff there to chew on, fellas. And right there in Matthew 7. But isn't it interesting? We asked the wrong question. We get out on the streets or we go wherever. We go on our mission trip to Mexico or our mission trip to Haiti, wherever we go. We always ask people if they know Jesus. Well, who doesn't know Jesus? Who doesn't know Michael Jordan? Who doesn't know Barack Obama? Of course we know Jesus. It's not the question. I say, listen, you know Barack Obama? Yeah, I know Barack Obama. Well, will he take a call from you? Collect call, could you call him right now? Well, no, I couldn't call him. Well, I thought you knew him. Well, I do. Oh, he don't know you. You know him, but he don't know you. Is that right? What did the Lord say? Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You never knew me? Is that what it says? No. Depart from me, you the worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. There are going to be many, according to this, unless he's lying, unless he's, I don't know. Going to be a lot of people that are going to be standing before the Lord, and he's going to say, I'm sorry, man. What was your name again? Sorry. What was your name? And this is not a I'm better than you. I'm better. I'm going to get in by the grace of God. That's how I'm getting into heaven. Not through works, although works are an important part. Works are evidence of your faith. Works are evidence of your faith. Paul said, show me your works, and I'll show you my faith. So faith ought to be visible. You ought to be able to see it. You ought to see faith in action. And sadly, most Christians don't have any evidence of their faith. They haven't done anything. As Larry said, unless it was by the program, that the program is supposed to do it, or those poor Catholics, I'm sorry. I was one of them who just go to church out of duty, go to holy days of obligation out of duty, and don't eat meat on Fridays out of duty, and out of duty. So I'm, are you kidding me? I never knew you. So it's false conversions. Church is full of them, false converts. Not everybody who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. That's why if we continue reading on down there, we'll find out how many people don't hang on to their salvation. They don't hang on to their salvation because the rain comes and the floods come and they're not built upon a rock. They're just built on a physical experience. Let's get the next video ready to go there, Jared, if we can. This one's about 6 minutes, guys, but I think it's important for us to watch. This is the discussion about altar calls. Altar calls. The churches. And we pick it up about partway through it. It's got the R.C. Sproul in it, and I can't remember the other guy's name, but I want you to listen to what they say about altar calls. Go ahead, Jared, and play that.
I immediately went to a large Southern Baptist church, and the very first week I was there, I stepped into the college ministry overseeing it as well as young marrieds. And I remember the very first weekend that I was there, there was already scheduled a young couple's retreat. So there were about 50, 60 of us that went on this young couple's retreat. And I remember Friday night, we all got in a big circle. And just as a kind of an icebreaker way to start the weekend and for me to know the people, I said, let's go around the circle, and I would like for everyone give us your name, where you're from, and give us your testimony when you came to know Christ. And by the time we got all the way around the circle, my jaw was on the floor. I could not believe what I was hearing and what I heard again and again and again and again and again was the testimony of people who had walked forward as a child, as a teenager. But my life never changed. I went off to college. I lived like the world. I sowed my wild oats and prayed for crop failure. And then that hit a nerve, didn't it? And then, you know, was married and we had a child and et cetera, et cetera. They finally got serious and committed their life to Christ. But what I heard again and again and again, nonstop, was people walking forward, and there was no conversion. Though people were praying, signing a card, whatever, people were not being saved. So after that, I then was, the next week, I was appointed, since I'm the college pastor, to be the guy who stands at the front while the pastor stands in the pulpit and gives the altar call. So as people come forward, I gather them, okay? I take them backstage, and I have now maybe 30 seconds to get their name, their address, their phone number, when they were saved, get their testimony, and then bring them back out before we finish just as I am, you know, the 48th verse. So, I mean, I actually lived through this. And after about 3 weeks of this, I just realized this is absolutely insane. I mean, we are presenting people back before the church. I don't even know who this person is. I mean, you've got 15 seconds to give me your testimony. I'm having to sort through just awful bad testimonies, trying to interpret. I'm finishing their sentences for them, what you're trying to say, and then bring them back out. So I just had to completely stop this. I said to the pastor, this is killing my conscience to you know, you're the pastor. We can do what however you lead us, but I cannot be the person out here to do this. So I eventually pastored a large Southern Baptist church of 4,000 to 5,000 members, and there was an altar call at the end. I mean, that's what you do if you're a pastor of such a church. And so I preached there for 8 years. And what the interesting thing was, I would preach, and literally no one would walk forward. My office was behind the pulpit area, the choir loft. I'd go back to my office, and literally week after week after week, there'd be this knock on the door. And after the service is over, it's like Spurgeon said, a wounded deer wants to withdraw to the thicket to lick its wounds. It does not want to be paraded in front of people as an object. And so I'm back in my pastor's study, and as R.C. would say, stop me if I'm lying. It was the most amazing thing. Wednesday night, Sunday night, Sunday morning, there were church members just being converted Sunday week by week by week by week. Nobody would walk forward, but everyone was being converted by themselves. People would be converted in the parking lot. People would be converted on the front pew. On the front doorsteps of the church. I don't think hardly anyone ever walked forward. So when we started our new church, I said, this is crazy. There will be no altar call whatsoever. I'm going to preach the word. The entire sermon is going to be a summons to give your life to Christ. And I'm the easiest person to find after the service. I'm at the front. I'm in the lobby. I'm the last person to leave. If you want more information, please come talk to me. But the fact is there was no precedence until the 19th century. So somehow for 1,800 years in church history, people were being saved without any sawdust trail, without any walking forward. So I think it lends itself to great abuse, and I've experienced it and lived through it.
The sad abuse is that it gives multitudes of people a false sense of security who think that they're saved because they raised their hand or prayed a prayer or walked an aisle. You know, Edwards preached that sermon, a warning to professors. It was not a warning to academic teachers. It was to those who were made a profession of faith and who believed that because they made a profession of faith that they were saved. Now, everybody who is saved is called to make a profession of faith. But Jesus warns again and again and again, many will come to me on that last day saying, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this? I do that? And he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You're not justified by a profession of faith.
Amen.
You're justified by a possession of it. And you can't manipulate that. Only the Holy Spirit can convert. Only the Holy Spirit can change the disposition of the soul and regenerate that person who's dead in sin and trespasses. We can't force that. And when we do, we put people at everlasting peril when we give them a false sense of security.
Boy, oh, boy. If the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So we have people in church who think they're saved and are not. Am I missing something here, guys? Is that the way that you read what we just read there? Listen to. Raj, looks like you're up, Raj.
Well, what can I say? You know, I've always felt. The question I've always wondered about altar calls is, where are these people in 6 months? Where are these people in a year? Where's the follow-up?
Yeah, that'll be a big building program, right? The church ought to be exploding if all these people are getting saved.
How are we discipling them? So on and so forth. And the emphasis is the altar call. I mean, you know, I can't disagree with the video at all. I can't.
Do you guys know who started the altar call in America? Billy Graham. Billy Graham, by the way, I walked that aisle, Jet Stadium, 1963. I gave my life to the Lord at Jet Stadium in a Billy Graham crusade. I walked that aisle. I said that prayer. I went where that pastor just said. I went over, and they've got my name on a note card. And I walked away. The Lord did something in my heart. But then I walked right back into the world. I walked right back into the world. No discipleship. Pastor didn't even know I was a Catholic at that point. I didn't know what had happened. Catholic Church didn't even believe in being born again. I don't know. I'm making some Catholic mad. I don't think they even believed in being born again, what that even meant. And so I laid on the beach and rotted for 30 years, 20 years. However, when the Lord touched my heart again in 1987, that little ember came back to life. It's awesome, isn't it? But I can tell you this, I wasn't born again. Well, how do you judge that? I didn't know the Lord. I walked forward, I said a prayer, but I didn't know the Lord. And I think that there are many, 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 many in our churches. That's why we're the way we are. Anybody? Larry?
What happened in 1987 that brought you back?
I heard the gospel. Now, I'd probably heard it before. You know, my mom used to sit us down when we were kids. My mom wasn't Catholic. We were in a mixed household. My dad was Catholic. Mom, when she married dad, had to promise priests and everything. They'd raise us catechism. I didn't have a very faith-filled house, although my mom, I think, was born again. She got born again at 16 years old. She converted even stronger later in her life. She used to sit us down. Billy Graham used to – we had three channels, 4, 6, and 10. You guys all remember those days. Billy Graham would do his nightly crusade sometimes. It'd be three nights. He'd buy time on the local station and do the Billy Graham crusade. My mom always sat us down and made us watch that. So that seed was always being planted in me. Can I tell you something else that absolutely blew me away? That really came to life in my heart. This, you guys aren't going to believe this. Jesus Christ Superstar. You remember that? Remember that? Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. The word got into me through that, and no doubt in my mind. I would watch that thing as a young guy. I was transfixed by it. Because they were repeating the words. Even though they were making fun of Jesus, the truth of the word was getting through there. So, Matt, what happened to me, I can't tell you what it is. All of those seeds were planted inside of me, and I went into a church, and I heard, and it spoke to what was already in me. That's the only thing I can say. One man plants, another man waters, but God gives the increase. The Holy Spirit touched me, and it became real and became alive to me. That's the only thing I can say. If you would ask me, I'm sorry.
Were you having any difficult times in your life? Were you dealing with any difficult things in 87?
No, not really. I was married and had our first child, and life was good. And then as soon as that happened to me, then job change came. My whole life changed after that. So no, I just think it was – see, I think the Lord helped me get born again for what was ahead of me. You understand? Not because I was going through something. He knew I needed to be born again for what I was heading into. He was gracious enough to know that my spirit needed to come alive. So, you know, the Lord comes in different ways. And those people sitting in the churches, I believe the people sitting in the churches could get born again, except they already think they are. And it's a great, great deception. That's why we're where we are. Anybody? We got about 7 minutes. Yes, Larry.
Okay. You know, the last gentleman that spoke on the video, he said so many people think that their profession of faith is going to save them, when it's in reality the possession of faith. Well, yesterday, today, we've been the central focus of what's been being covered, and I believe by the leading of the Holy Spirit, is this thing on faith. Now, remember last week whenever I said, you know, Hebrews 6, 1 and 2 gives us the seven foundational elements of the Christian walk. And the second of those seven is faith towards God. Now, when you sit down and you let the Holy Spirit show you what is in the Word of God about faith and point out specifically those things about faith that are directed toward God, what we've been talking about the last couple of days all comes into play here. And that's why it's one of the foundational things. It's because it's one of the things that any person who is used by the Holy Spirit to lead someone to the Father through Jesus Christ. Any person who is used by the Holy Spirit to do that should be able to take that new person, that new brother or sister, because they have the same Father you have now.
Yep.
Should be able to take that same brother or sister and start building the foundation within them. But if that person who's used by the Holy Spirit doesn't understand the foundation themselves, doesn't know what those seven things in those two verses are and what the Bible has to say about those seven things, then how can you build that foundation in somebody else if you don't even know what it is yourself?
Can't teach what you don't know. You can't teach what you... So that's what the equipping of the saints is supposed to all be about, right? Equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Our churches should be training men to train men. And we got to go to church, let the pastor tell us. JR, did you want to get in here? Looks like you're unmuted.
I can, yeah. I appreciate the opportunities in my life and the events in my life that have led me to what we're doing today, that I could sit down and I can actually understand the majority of what everybody's talking about here. I'm not going to pretend I understand absolutely everything, but I'm close enough where I speak the same language. And that's a blessing to me. And it's something that I wasn't really looking for. I mean, I was running away from God. And he kind of knocked me off my horse. And I'm still trying to pick myself up and have myself in the back direction. So, amen. I just appreciate everything that we do in this program. It's incredible.
You know, guys, thanks, JR. You know, Bible says in John chapter 3, my sheep hear my voice, and another voice they will not hear. And I just want to use this illustration in my life. I can't speak for anybody else. And I'm not saying this to put myself on a high horse. That's not what I'm saying. The closer I get to know the Lord, the more I recognize those who don't. Does that make sense? The closer I get to Jesus, the more I understand others don't know him. Jesus, I'll never forget my daughter one time telling somebody, I've been in the media for a lot of different reasons, whatever. And I remember I heard my daughter say one time, to somebody who was yap, 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 yapping about me and bigoted and all that stuff, you know. And I heard my daughter say, you don't really know my dad. There it is, right? So I think about that with the Lord. And I watch people and what they do and their apathy and their callousness. And I'm thinking, you don't really know my dad. If you really knew my dad, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't be acting like that. So part of us, those of us when we get born again, is to be drawn deeper, become like him, to become like him. Because when we become like it, see? Oh, thank you, Lord. I recognize now that Harriet Tubman's a counterfeit. On that dollar. If they can just change, put whoever's face on there, I now understand the money's just made up. It's just made up. How do I know that? Because I understand what money is now. People, they'll all want to go out and get these new Harry Tubman $20 bills. They all think that's a neat thing to do, and I'm looking at that thing saying, that's fake. That ain't the real thing. And it's the same thing with our faith. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for he never knew you. An intimate relationship where he's able to speak into your heart that you will see things and understand things that you never understood before. And here's a good thing. Just like Maggie said, when somebody gets mad at you and they're calling you names and why are you doing this, why are you doing that, you just shrug up your hand and say, well, you don't really know my dad. You don't really know him. See, nobody knows me like my kids. Shouldn't that be our relationship with Jesus? Nobody knows like his kids. Let's get to know him better. Hey, God bless you. Time's up. good study today. We'll see you. See you tomorrow. Tell your friends. Oh, by the way, yeah. Hey, real quickly, go to Jimmy John's today. Dollar subs at Jimmy John's today all across America. $1 sub. Customer Appreciation Day. That's where I'm going to be this afternoon. My son's Jimmy John's. So God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.